What's up, you amazing soul warriors? I am so excited to be sitting in this seat here with you tonight. This is Saturday Night Soul Sessions live with me, LC, and we've got our number one returning guest, my good friend, one of my favorite humans on earth, Miss Kareth Foster, best-selling author, I mean, internationally renowned speaker, Inversity Solutions creator. I mean, this woman is everywhere and has it all, and I just love her and I'm so grateful that it worked out that she can be here with me tonight. I've got my Kindness Counts cup filled with sweet tea, and I'm super ready to have this conversation with her tonight about the power of intentional thinking and focus, how it really is up to us, how we have more choices than our limitations allow us to believe. And honestly, how we can truly create a life we love. If you've been following Recovery Soul Food for any length of time, you know that Kareth has been here now. This will make her third time. She's come back every season since season 2. And, you know, she has so many amazing things to say. But not only that, she shares from the way that she lives. And I'm super excited as well, because her husband, Craig, my friend, the Aussie, is going to join us later on in this tonight. So it's going to get pretty wild around here. And I'm super glad that you're here to join us tonight. Hey, if you get any kind of value from our content, you know that you can help us grow by liking, sharing the video, subscribing to our YouTube channel, and also becoming a monthly supporter of the podcast at anchor.fm/recoverysoulfood. You can also follow us on Instagram and TikTok at all those places. Even though I haven't been all that active there lately, it's been a strange time. It's been a rough time for a lot of us, but I'm telling you, we're moving into greatness. So hold on and get ready, because we're going to learn some stuff tonight. We're going to have some good conversation tonight, and we're hopefully going to help you get up from your give up and create a life you love. So if you're ready, we're ready. Let's go. What's up, Kareth? Welcome back.
Hello, Marilyn.
I am so happy to have you here. I am. This has just made my whole week.
It's so mutual. I feel exactly the same way. And thank you for that lovely introduction.
It's so the truth. It is so the truth. And like I said, first time we met, I'll travel anywhere with you and be your opener to make sure people really understand the honor that they are in to be in the presence of such a new thought leader in today's world.
Well,
I appreciate you.
And this topic is right up my alley, as you know, like one of my favorite things to talk about. I am a manifester. I am a manifesting generator. And so it's all about putting it out there and setting the intention. So this conversation is going to be fire.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Because in fact, when I first met you, you said, I am a master manifester. And we talked about that in that first video. And I really want us to talk about the backside of that in some ways as well, because sometimes it gets so overwhelming that when we talk about manifestation, we always just talk about the end result, but we don't talk about the power of what it takes to get there and the hard things that we kind of go through that look like life's shattering when really yeah. it's breaking open limitations to fall into place.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely. You're going to get tested.
Oh,
you're
yeah.
You're going to be challenged. You're going to, like, it's not just like making a vision board and right. it's done. Voila. Like, you know, a fairy godmother comes with the wand and boom, right. the next day.
Right.
Not that that's not entirely possible, but there are elements that we don't talk about. Like you said, that happened behind the scenes that, you know, even The Secret, right? That Rhonda Byrne book that came out 2009, I believe it was.
Yep.
And it was all the rage. I mean, she was from Australia. It was an international sensation. They made the movie about it. But one of the things that people started talking about, because everybody's like, well, I'm just going to visualize.
Yeah, I'm going to think it through.
And I'm going to like want it and desire it. But the element that they talk about that just recently they started saying is
yeah,
have to believe.
Yeah.
Have to believe it. Like it's already happened. Like it's already there. You have in that belief. Another word for that is the F word, not the four letter bad one.
Faith. Yes.
Faith. Like, literally yeah. blind faith. It's believing before you see it. Not I'll see it when I'll believe it, or I'll believe it when I see it. Kind of, I've been in that boat for part New Yorker, right? Like I've been in New York 20 some years. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. Cause you yeah. know, you're in the real world where there's empty promises and yeah, this is going to happen. And you know, you make investments or if you're especially in entertainment, yeah, we're going to make this movie. We want you to be part of this project. Okay. I'll believe it when I see it. Cause you get hyped up. But you get disappointed. And so, but you have to then, the faith that you've had in those other people, you have to put in yourself.
Manifesting
to work, right? You have
absolutely.
To put in this internal work and
yes.
to be like, you know what? This is where I'm supposed to be. I know this is my future. I know it with all of my being. Do I know how it's going to happen exactly? I do not. I'll give you an example. So obviously, you know, I wrote the book. You can be perfect.
Yep.
You can be happy, right?
Yeah.
And I self-published this book. And even though I self-published it, it made it to debuted on the bestseller list of personal transformations for Amazon. But I never stopped there. Like, oops, sorry. One of my crystals. I love crystals. I'm going to be in airports. When I walk through airports, I'm going to see my picture and my books on like display as I go through airports all over the country. I don't know how that's going to happen. I don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but that is something that I want to happen. And I know it's part of my destiny. Fast forward. I mean, this was a thought many, many years ago because I have a very dear friend who's an author and she does a lot of, she's written 11 books now on like successful women and, you know, resilience. Her name is Valerie Burton. I'll plug her.
Oh, she's on
Today's show regularly with Hoda and Jenna. And we know each other from Texas. She used to be a writer for my mom.
Wow.
My mom's editor-in-chief of a minority business supplier, diversity supplier magazine.
Wow.
And she went from there to this, you know, best-selling author and speaker. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like I'm kind of following in her footsteps a little bit. I'm like, I'm going to be like Valerie. I see her every time I go to the airport. It's not, because it's not jealousy. It's,
right.
it's not envy. It's, I'm going to do that too. It's
yeah.
she. And if she can
it's
do
a
it.
Mirror.
Yeah,
it's a mirror of purpose.
Right? Because it could be, oh, I can't believe she got that. And I've been doing this for so long. It's not. It's not at all. It's, wow, she got this. She came from where I. And this is why representation is so important.
Yes. Yes.
Right? It's not about checking a box for diversity or filling quotas. It's about other people. Look,
it's possible.
Somebody just like you was able to do this too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I see this all the time. I still see your books in the airport. And I'm like, that's going to happen for me. So fast forward to this past, we're in 2023, Mother's Day. An article in the New York Times came out that featured me and my
yes,
work.
It was amazing.
Adversity, right? And I, it like the attention it brought was just phenomenal. Like, I could not ask for a better, like, and what was so beautiful about the article, Elsie, and I don't think I share this with you when we talk, but every now and then you'll get quoted or you'll get, you know, someone will write up a piece about you, and they always have their own agenda, right?
Mm-hmm.
They always,
mm-hmm.
if it's not misspelling your name or misquoting you or bending it to what mm-hmm. they want, putting up an unflattering picture, none of that happened. This was the greatest thing that could have happened to me.
It was beautiful.
And the pictures they used were flattering.
It was beautiful.
The person they interviewed was just spot on. It just was, you know.
Mm.
And so, of course, it brought a lot of attention. And then I get these calls from some pretty major publishing houses. Like, hey, you interested in writing a book on this? As a matter of fact, I've been planning on it and working it. But this was like, okay, we're going to put that plan into motion now, because wow. now you can't just like think about it and wish about it. Like, it has to get done because there is yep. interest.
Yep.
So I reached out to a very dear friend who is successful and said, what do? Do I get an agent? Do I get a, you know, do I just find a lawyer? Like, because I've had bad experiences with managers and agents, you know, taking a sure. percentage for doing nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's something that I did and created and got myself. So I'm like, I really want to avoid that. She's like, no. I can put you in touch with my agent, my literary agent. I'm like, okay, would you like, because as someone who's been in the entertainment industry, you like, you know, if you have representation, it's always kind of annoying when other people are like, hey, can you introduce me to your manager? Like,
mm-hmm.
kind of like trying to snake in. And so you never, yeah. like, I knew that from that world. So I wasn't asking for that, but it was just a genuine introduction. So I could ask questions. And then this agent was like, you know what? I love this topic. I love you. I would love to represent you.
That's amazing.
So I have a literary agent. And this is someone who can put my face and my book and airports. And I know that seems yeah. so silly, right? Like, airports, that's your goal. I mean, obviously there's so much more, but that
still
visualization, like, that's just, that was the, I
that's the focus. That. Yeah. Yeah. That's a point of focus.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's, I'm amazing.
Sorry, I hijacked this from the,
No. I'm so grateful that you're sharing about that, because I myself am just so happy to hear about it, because I read the article and I thought to myself, this is an amazing article. Like, there's no way that this, because see, when, if you look at you from my eyes, it's almost the same way. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, here's this amazing human being that is in the world talking about subjects that are so important in such a unique way that this needs to be heard. And you know what? I know that if she can do this, you know, like I could probably do something like this. And just watching the growth of that and the expansion of all of it, and knowing you, knowing that it's not just a vision board on your wall, that you take the steps, because a lot of times, sometimes I find that there are some things we think we want until it comes down to the action time. And that's when that fear and that, you know, smallness will come into play and shut us down, and we'll let these things pass by. And so I think having a focus, like, I want to see my books in airports, is such an amazing, like, specific and generic at the same time. So there's not any kind of judgment right. attached to, because sometimes the judgment we attach to things will stop those things from coming in our lives.
Mm.
You know, I've spent 2 years talking to people about how to get up from their give up. But this season, I want to talk to them about how to create a life you love. And so what you're talking about right now is creating a vision for yourself minus the judgment surrounding it. So the judgment on how it's got to come in, what it's supposed to look like, and just relaxing into that faith and saying, I know within my being that this is my purpose, and being so grateful that you had a mirror to see that in somebody else, because how do we really know what our purpose is until we see somebody else doing it? And then it clicks in.
Right.
Because I don't know about you, but I see people, like, I watched a whole series today called Fearless on bull riding. and I don't want to climb on a bull. I think that's fun, and those guys got grit.
Not even a bar.
That ain't my purpose. Like, I know that ain't my purpose. But he did say something in there that was just resembled what you were talking about. He was like, you know, one of the first champion bull riders from Brazil showed so many other Brazilian boys that this was something they could do, and that was what was happening.
But it's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
Even if it's not what you want to do, it's a possibility, and that plants the seeds.
That's
it. You just said something when you were speaking a few minutes ago about how I took action, and that's the other part of faith.
Yes.
You can't just sit back and I'm going to believe it. You have to take steps toward something. And you know what? Yeah. That's the key. That's the magic elixir.
It really is.
You just, and the thing is, you don't worry about if it's a right action or a wrong action. You just have to put things in motion.
Yes.
And that is literally like, the belief is the key. The action is turning the key and opening the door.
Yes. Yes, it truly, truly is.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it truly is. And I think that like lends itself, because there are all kinds of distractions that we can get into, especially now, if we're talking about just, you know, like being absorbed by the world outside of us, you know, we can get really involved and taken down the rabbit hole of some things that can cloud our vision. Mm-hmm. It can knock us, you know, off of our path and ways, and it can get us into an energy of true judgment. We're in a situation now where it's very tempting, because it feels good in the unhealthy body and the nervous system of a lot of traumatized human beings that don't even realize how traumatized we all are, that energy of picking sides and standing up for what's right, you know, or all of that can really, it's taking energy away from this very thing that we're talking about.
I call that the comfortable discomfort.
That's exactly what it is. That's exactly what it is.
And these bad, toxic, sometimes places of trauma, of victimhood, of abuse, whether it's self-inflicted or someone else, because we know it. So that's become our normal. And because it's our normal and we know it, it's comfortable. So to step outside of that into something new, even if it's something better, way better, which it usually is, it's so scary because it's unknown.
It is.
You have to be able to push into that place. That's where the faith comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's where the faith comes in. Being able to hop into the unknown. And look who's here, my darling. Lovely.
Look at my friend coming. Look at my friend.
A cocktail of some kind.
It's
or a lemon juice.
It's not a lemon juice, let me tell you that.
It's a limeade.
It's a limeade.
All right.
Well, Martin John is here. Let me give a shout out to Martin John. We love you too, Martin John. We were talking about you before we got on the air. Well, look, poor Aussie's trying to share the chair.
He's trying. Yeah. I'm going to have to lift it up a little bit.
We could probably go with the other chair and it would probably look normal.
We'll cut the top of his head off a little bit. He still looks great. How you doing, man?
How's it going?
It's good. I'm glad to see you.
I'm glad to see you too.
Anyway, I heard you down there getting the
Texas, so we're you had to have a margarita.
A limeade.
It's hot. It's hot in North Carolina too. It's 105. The heat index is 105 today. Can't imagine that Texas though. Texas heat's so different.
Oh my word. We have a chicken now in the dog cage.
Yes.
Amanda. Say a little prayer for Amanda. She overheated.
The chicken pass out.
We have an overheated chicken.
The visual on that. I apologize. Visual on that was too much. I hear you're down there getting the kids ready for Terminator. I hear you down there getting them.
We were watching it.
Get them prepared.
They're like, Dad, they're a little freaked out, but they're like, Daddy, I'm gonna go. It's like one possible future.
I love it.
But you need to be prepared.
It's just one possibility. Yeah. I love it.
We're going to talk land and stuff after the show.
All right.
So, today's theme is
intentional thinking and focus.
Yeah. Focus and manifesting things and putting that energy towards stuff.
Then we can talk about the land as well. We've been thinking about this land and the property and what we've been wanting for quite some time.
Yeah.
Really?
Going public with everything.
Right. But I'm just saying that
it's something we've been wanting to manifest.
We've been manifesting as well.
Yeah.
Because you guys manifested the house you're in now, right?
Yes.
And the
children manifested the cat.
That's awesome.
He manifested the dog. I did not manifest the dog. And I manifested them. I did. We made lists. And that's another thing. So we're talking about taking action, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think, when we talk about taking action, it can be little minutia things like taking the time to just meditate for 5 minutes a day. Yeah. Writing a list of what you want. And so what both he and I did, and I feel like we've talked about this before, but it's always good for a new audience. I made a list of what I wanted in a soulmate, in a partner. And it was a very specific list. And I spent weeks on this list. And I would think about the people that I maybe dated before, what I liked about them, the qualities I didn't. But instead of saying, I don't want somebody who does this, it was, I want someone who does this, instead of saying, I don't want someone who's, still hung up on their ex. It's, I want someone who's emotionally available.
Mm, right? That's important.
Does not distinguish between nots and don'ts and the negatives. It only hears what you're saying. So you keep saying, I don't want this. You're going to get more of what you don't want.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Because the feeling that's attached to what you don't want is obviously stronger than what you do.
Well, and that's interesting that you say feelings. So I'm reading a book. I forget what the name of the book is, but it's about, how everyone is goal driven. And we're in this society, we're being taught to set the goal, set the intention, set the goal, right? I want to make 100,000 by next year. I want to make 1 million by next year. I want this kind of house, this kind of car and that. So what this book is talking about, and so when people reach that, or even athletes, I want to win this championship, right? Mm-hmm. You win the championship, you get the car, you get the 100,000, the house, whatever it is, but you still feel empty.
Yeah. Right?
Reason why you feel empty is because you haven't set the feeling.
Yeah.
What is the feeling
that comes with
the emotion that comes with getting that goal? Now, absolutely. When you have goal and emotion, now you're setting what I'm gonna feel when I get there, right?
Yeah,
and then you feel more when you get it, then now I feel more fulfilled, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Is just setting a list of goals and that, or wants or wishes, doesn't do anything unless you take some action.
We're just saying
so
that.
True, yeah. Yeah, so true. Because I remember thinking, I want to manifest money. It was money, 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 because there's this feeling and this thinking that money is going to solve
all the
issues, because we're not thinking past the thing into what's the emotion that I want to feel. Right. And there is this very interesting place that I feel grateful to be in at this point, where I that goal oriented, that hustle culture is what, I kind of call it, is that there was always this drive to get something to the point that it started becoming it was almost burdensome.
Mm.
And even though you would get the stuff, because,
you don't have the emotional
need. Exactly. Because I got the money.
Right.
And nothing. Right. I couldn't get rid of the money fast enough because there was a disappointment in the fact that it didn't fix one damn thing. Like, I paid my bills on time every month. I bought some stuff, but my wife was still in a massive depression. My son was still completely, I could not buy them out of that.
Sure.
And so it was a valuable lesson in that, okay, what is it what's behind this thing that I'm really looking for? Is it harmony in my relationships? Is it, you know, peace? Is it joy? What is it? And I've learned to kind of sit back and not be completely detailed focused to the point that I make a judgment about it if it doesn't show up that way. But it's like that faith we were talking about, where I'm open to experience. Like, these are the emotions that I want to achieve. I want to achieve a feeling of pure freedom. If right. I want to get up and go somewhere, then I have the ways and the means and the ability to do that. If I want to have a certain type of career, you know, what does that feel like, you know, and how am I limiting myself by believing or playing, continuing to play small? Because we'll play small to keep the people around us comfortable. We surely will.
Right.
We'll hold ourselves back. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, that's what this book was talking about, is how if you don't attach the emotion to it. So the woman started off with like the vision board, which Karith is very big on the vision board.
I love my vision board.
I love them too, just for that emotion. So
her and her husband, I guess, sat down at one Christmas and they were doing the vision board for the new year and that. And then, you know, it kind of just, you know, got the stuff out there and some of the stuff they got, but there wasn't any fulfillment to it. So then she, over time, it became an emotion board. Okay. Mm-hmm. What is the feeling that I'm going to be attaching to when I get to these levels and this goal, you know,
that sounds so familiar. You got to sit, you got to tell me, you got to remember.
I can go downstairs and get it. Do you want me to go?
I bet you it's something that I'm reading. Cause I just, that emotion board, I don't remember, and I can't remember who I was reading or listening to, and I wonder if it's the same book. But it's so true to have that emotion board.
Hang
on a sec, I'll go get it.
Okay. So it is true to have that emotion behind something, because the fulfillment doesn't come in the thing. And I say that whenever I'm talking to, you know, people in recovery, people that are going through transition, is the happiness does not live in the thing. The accomplishment.
Well, and that's why everybody thinks, oh, if I just do this to my body, right? If I just get my pumper, if I just get that nose job, if I just get that boob job, if I just augment something external, then I'll feel like how I want to feel.
Exactly.
That's like one of the tenets of adversity is, you know, yes, can we focus on what it is we have in common? Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Let's celebrate our differences. Of course. Yes. Like, let's find a way to honor them and to value them and to celebrate them, because, you know, that's part of what makes us and what's unique, our identities and what makes us individuals. But let's shift the focus to what it is we have in common, how we can truly be inclusive of one another. But most importantly, and I always say this, and powerfully, being introspective, understand your value and worth so you can see it in someone else.
That's the only way.
Can't go inside and think, you know what? I am beautiful. I am smart. I love myself. There's no way we can see that or perceive that in anyone else. Most of us don't think those things. Most of us wake up in the morning and the first thing we do is look in the mirror and say something heinous.
Yeah.
It'd be awful that if a complete stranger walked up and said to us, we'd be like, who raised you? We'd be appalled. And yet we do that to ourselves.
Every day. Every day.
But, what? If I just change this, if I just get that cellulite removed, if I just lose 50 pounds, if I just, you know, and I can talk about it because I'm guilty of it.
Me too.
I'm watching myself. I am working on, you know, and that's the thing. This is a practice, right?
Like intentional.
Yoga. It's called yoga perfect. Yep. It's called yoga practice.
Yeah.
You're constantly having to, but some people just don't even know about it. And so if we can be an introduction to that, like even better, you know?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
That's what this is about. It's about learning from one another. And I swear to God, I think, Elsie, that is part of both of our purposes on this planet, is to enlighten people and educate them and, you know, lift the veil.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
The fraudulent, narcissistic, materialistic world.
Yeah.
What is
real?
What is legitimate? What matters?
Right, right.
And as you know, it's not the money, it's not the things, it's our health, it's mm-hmm. the people we love, it's the experiences we have.
Yeah, we're lucky to be here. You know, like I'm so grateful for my addiction. I'm just so grateful for my past. Not that I dismiss the things that, you know, happen or went on or any of that, but I'm grateful because only because of that do I have the perspective of being able to understand what is real and true for me, what is real and true to me. And the only way that I can recognize that in another person, because you can't be tolerant of something in somebody else that you're not tolerant or aware of within yourself. And so for the longest time, it was easy for me to jump on the bandwagon of, you can't say that, you know, like, it's almost like,
sure,
you know, you can't say that, because it invoked a place within me that I was still trying to figure out. It's like Martin and I have talked about so many times. I think going back to the root of me and a lot of my thinking was, I felt the need. I felt so misunderstood. I felt the need to be understood, that mm-hmm. it bled itself into an approval issue. Mm-hmm. So then it was always trying to get the approval and yet always knowing I was different. So there, your duality is now polarity.
But now, instead of being understood, you are at the level of being understood.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if that's what we can present to the world, and I say that in the addiction world as well, you know, I understand the purpose in the beginning of the whole, you know, admitting that you have an addiction issue.
Sure.
But don't put the addict after I am. Mm. Acknowledge that you have the issue.
Yeah.
But every time you are giving to that you are giving to that prophecy for yourself, mm-hmm. you're limiting all that you can be within that label. And there are some people that are so diehard about that. And, you know, and I get it, but it's a very surface level of who you are, because who you really are, what you really are.
It's a lot deeper.
Way deeper.
Why we connect so much on your message and my message within InVersity, because, you know, if we could get away from the labels of I'm just a Black woman, or I'm Black, or I'm a woman, right. I'm gay, or I'm, you know, I'm whatever, like that, we're not monoliths.
No.
They're multifaceted. There's this intersectionality that shouldn't be ignored or denied, because it robs us of our agency. Anytime you get to one label, one pronoun, one, you know, that pigeonholes us and everything that we are and can be.
You know, instead of just, you know, I am who I am, instead of a he, a she, a they.
Yeah.
You know, don't just stick yourself in a pigeonhole. Don't just say, I am this, you know, because you're much bigger. Everybody's much bigger.
Absolutely.
Book is called The Desire Map.
The Desire Map. No, that's not the one, but now I want to get it.
Flip it back over.
Right, and it says, how do you want to feel?
I love that. The Desire Map.
The Desire Map by Danielle Laporte.
Laporte. I will get that, because I love that, because the feeling is the secret. The feeling is the secret.
Yeah, you got to have all of it. The feeling is the secret, because, you know, this, you know, I've worked in the motorcycle field for a lot of years and stuff. And there's guys who have been national champions. One of the most winningest riders ever just opened up, you know, probably 6 months or so ago on a YouTube thing. And, he said, even, you know, after he won all of his champions, he was a minute away from committing suicide. He had the gun in his mouth, and his mother called.
Wow.
But he, you know, because he'd been told from a young age, you need to win these races, you need to win these championships. All of this stuff this is what you're supposed to do. And he'd done all that.
It will fulfill you.
It'll fulfill you. You have a great house, the fast cars, all the championships, all the money, all the things you could possibly have. And he still felt as completely empty as ever. And that perhaps even more empty. You know.
Yeah, I'd say more.
More I'd empty. More. The more you know, so that, like these people that, you know, the more they take, the emptier they feel. You
yes.
Know, probably, you know, I haven't been addicted, but I'm imagining that somewhere where the addiction stuff.
It's the truth.
You want to consume more because you think that's going to fix the problem.
Exactly.
It actually just fueling the problem.
That's it. That's it. It's just adding to the emptiness. And, you know, I know that for so many things that I did in my life, you know, if I get thin, oh, I'll have this surgery and I'll get thin. So when I get thin, it's all going to be all right. Everything that I thought that being overweight was stopping me from. Oh, if I transition, then I'll be happy. You know, something profound really happened to me that I didn't realize until this year. I did like this reassessment with my therapist, and we went over all the years that I'd been seeing her. And every year there was, when it came to that whole gender question or whatever, sexuality question, it was like, you know, patient feels trapped, wrong body. Mm-hmm. The year before I opened up to begin my transition, I had come to a place of acceptance.
Mm.
And that was written in that therapy log. And I didn't even know that. We were just reading through it. And it dawned on me when she read through that, that that was the one time in almost 10 years of seeing her that I had come to a place of acceptance. Yeah. Okay, I've done enough healing work within myself. That is, if this is the way that it is or stays, then I'm going to accept myself as a human being. That's, you know, just this is, I'm a divine human being. And then things began to open up. And I think that was a saving grace for me in the way that all the other times that I had thought, oh, this will do it. If I do this, it'll do it. It was more empty. Just like you said, I was more empty every time. It was disappointing because you were like, oh my God, I got to the mountain. Yep, it didn't hold.
And you're like, hang on.
I know. It's like, okay, now what's next?
Now what?
You
know? Exactly,
what's, right? What's another word for acceptance? Surrender.
Mm-hmm. Surrender. And that's a big one in the addiction community.
It's a big
and
one.
Surrender.
You surrender to like, this is it. This is me.
This is it.
There's nothing more I'm supposed to be or have or do. I am surrendering to the fact that I am enough.
Yes.
Yes.
And you know, yes. So our oldest daughter is still homeschooled, so we go to the homeschool group stuff. And there's some lesbians at the homeschool group. And you know, I was talking to one of them, and she was talking about her partner, and that who's the more masculine partner in the group. And she goes, "Yeah, my partner just feels awkward all the time." I go, "That's how men are. Men feel awkward all the time.
And I love that.
Just being normal."
That's, I love that.
That's the how it goes.
I love that.
Awkward.
I love that so much because it is kind of true. And I'm glad you said that. So for every person you think just has it all together and they're just
awkward.
Everybody's awkward.
We all have our own awkwardness that we deal with every day. There's always times where I feel awkward. I'm like, what am I doing here? You know?
Oh, I love that.
You just gotta, you know, embrace, hey, I'm here. I'm supposed to be here. I have a purpose. Let's make the best of it.
There's something that's said, and I love access consciousness, and I love it. And there's something that said that nothing is right or wrong, you know, it just is. And we have this feeling like we've got to make something about ourselves wrong, or we got to make something about ourselves right. And really, that's when the judgment comes in. And once again, we're closing in the gaps on our smallness, because if we're in complete judgment of what's right or what's wrong about us, so it's, you know, right and wrong, you know, right or wrong, good or bad, you know.
We live in a binary world, right? Like we live in a binary world. It's either good or bad, left or right, right and wrong. And that's how we operate. And we forget that it's really a world of gray.
Well, and it's not really yes. so much a world. Yeah, there is some gray, there's gray in the middle, but I mean, if we just had everything be white, so if everything, if everything was perfect, right, there would be no balance. There would be
there
no
would not.
Contrast to it. So we That's need true. To have the imperfection or the black to contrast with the white. That's what the
Absolutely.
Yin and Yang is about. You know,
absolutely.
The balance. Without, if you have all of one, the circle becomes unbalanced. If it's all of the other, it's unbalanced. When it's a battle backwards and forwards, and it's never perfect. It's never.
I think that's a beautiful transition into one of the things that I was going to ask you tonight, which, you know, really is about that balance. About, you know, when you're walking through these hard times, you know, like right now we are in wild times personally, collectively. So what do you guys do as individuals, maybe even together as a couple, you know, when you're going through these hard times, how do you keep yourself in a place of intentionally focusing? You know, is it just mostly about growth, or do you have to get like really intentional on saying, okay, I know whatever this is, it's leading to something else. Is there, how do y'all do that individually and together?
Well, I'll go first.
You go first.
You know, in my book, You Can Be Perfect, You Can Be Happy, I talk about how, you know, spoiler alert, happiness is a choice. It's as individual as we are, but the caveat is that it's not a constant, right?
Mm-hmm.
First, understanding you're not supposed to be happy all the time. You're not going to be happy all the time. Things aren't going to be rainbows and unicorns every single day. So it's like life, obviously, you know, like a heartbeat, like a literally watching an EKG up and down, you got your highs, you got your lows. When you hit the highs, you enjoy the heck out of them for as long as you can, because you know it's temporary. And when you hit the lows, you understand that it's temporary. And maybe it's a low time for you to collect yourself, for you to reframe, for you to change course, for you to go inside a little bit,
for
development, right? Yep. But that too is temporary. The only time we are ever in trouble is when, just like an EKG and a heart monitor, you got that straight line.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I tell, especially young people, but I think it doesn't matter really what age, but, you know, you can have it all, just not at the exact same time.
Right.
You know, I mean, marriage is hard. We have good days and bad days and good weeks and bad weeks. And you know what I mean? And it's, I mean, yeah, you're like, okay, yeah, I can throw in the towel, but then I'm throwing away all of this. Mm-hmm. Or I can stick it out. And then when the good times are good, you're there for that too. And you realize that love evolves, life evolves.
Yes.
You know, if you can have that understanding, unless it's obviously clearly an abusive.
Right, right, correct, yeah.
You know, then that's no good at all. But, you know, just understanding that it's not going to be perfect and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
But knowing again that the down times are temporary. And you said something earlier about being grateful for being an addict in the sense that you because you got to the place of recovery, you have this life now.
Right.
I'm so grateful for some of the most atrocious times of my life where I was involved an emotionally abusive work and personal situation. And I'm not grateful that it happened. Like,
Right.
But I'm grateful because A, it showed me how strong I was. And B, it led me to the path of understanding my value and worth. And I would never be here now if I hadn't gotten on that path.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Without a doubt. And being, and I think I find in my marriage that when I do have those moments where things creep up and I'm an asshole or I'm what, however, that I try not to be in judgment of myself over that. Like I try not to do that thing where I just beat the shit out of myself being an asshole and drop down into those old, like very lower vibration emotions where now I make myself wrong for being human. You know, and I think that's our greatest, we are born to be in relationship, you know, with each other. We're born to be in communion with each other. And I think it's a great, you know, I have a friend that since her divorce, she was just so floored by this divorce that she has not moved on to find love since. Mm. And, you know, and I think there's this, our culture tells us, oh, I can be alone. I don't need anybody. And I don't do this. But inherently we do. And we cut ourselves off from a huge part of ourselves when we stop ourselves from being in communion with others because of past hurts versus finding, like we're talking about, finding the beauty, the contrast, like, you know, like Craig said, it, the contrast is what lets me, if I know what I don't want, then that's a great indication of what I do. And if I can intentionally focus on what I do want versus just being emotionally attached to what I don't, then I'm already taking a step forward.
Yeah. Already. And then, so I, my thing is the other night, because our youngest daughter was sleeping in the bed with my wife, so I'm sleeping up in her bed. And after
play musical beds in our house.
Yeah, and after I've read the eldest one a story, and then I usually fall asleep along with her. I'm playing the story in her bed, and then she gets mad because I might score, so she kicks me out. So it's 3 o'clock in the morning. The other morning, I'm lying in bed, and I'm like, why did I wait so long to find Kareth? Why did I have all these, you know, because I was married twice before and that.
Oh, okay.
Why did I have these terrible marriages and that? Why did I have these terrible relationships and everything else? Right. And then and I'm like, man, if I could have just got to where I am now, I would have been much better off. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I had to go through all of those things, every falling down. I had to fall down 1,000 times to get up 1,001 times.
Yes.
You know, I had to learn all of the crazy lessons and that. And if I hadn't have learned all of that stuff, I wouldn't have been ready for having
a relationship
with Kareth. And that, I probably wouldn't have been in the right space of where I needed to be to make this marriage work and to make this a successful, you know, family and relationship and everything else. So there was everyone gets to the point that they are now, not by chance, not by haphazard. You are divinely have to go. God never gives you a challenge that you can't overcome. Mm. And there's a lesson to be learned in every single one. And when we overcome these things, the next lesson is coming. The next benefit, the next opportunity is coming. You know, and you can fall down 1,000,000 times too, but you get up 1,000,001. That's what it's all about, you know?
Absolutely.
You know, that prepares you for the next thing.
Absolutely. It's like Jim Rohn always, used to listen to Jim Rohn a lot, where he says, winter is always coming. Like the seasons follow each other, no doubt about it. You know, so summer's fun and spring is great. New things are happening, but winter's coming. So how do you, you know, prepare for the winters? If you just have all your fun in the summer and you never get to learn anything like that, then the winters are hard. You know, I think that suffering in not in a lot of ways. I think it just is. For me, suffering became like a choice that I didn't realize I had the choice. I didn't realize all that time that I spent suffering that I was driving the ship. I never even understood that I had a choice to get up and stop suffering. And that is what spiritual maturity and it represents to me is the ability to make change before suffering has to occur. I don't have to suffer in order to make positive change, especially if I surround myself with people who are in that same atmosphere, especially people that are more spiritually mature than myself, you know, that can mirror that back to me. You know, it's important, I think. That's amazing that you had that reflection. How long have you all been married?
About 5,000 years.
Are you telling me previous lives together? Like, you
know, that's how we
Egypt
feel.
And the Middle Ages.
And, that's how we feel. Yeah,
like, this go around 11 years.
11 years. Wow. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. I've been with my wife 18 years when I never could make a relationship last. I think my longest relationship before then was 5 years. I always told her, I really began to believe I had a medical problem, that I just was going to go to the doctor and say, listen, something's wrong with me. I can't commit. I can't, I can't do it. But it was just about, you know, aligning with that one. But had I not gone through all of that,
you gotta go through
all, I would not have known, because my relationship before my wife had all the aspects that I thought I wanted. You know, I came from Texas because I wanted a Southern woman like my grandmother. There were these ideals that I just wanted to have. And the women I dated in Texas were all very independent and all those things. So I went back home and I found one that had all of those attributes. And yet she ended up stealing my grandparents' identities, and I ended up going to prison. And so, but my wife now, born only 2 days apart, you know, from the last one, had those attributes, but she had like I realized at the core, it wasn't about all the things I could check off the box.
Right.
There had to be something else, like, you know, and my wife is for me. You know what I mean? Like, she's for
emotional,
me.
Emotional.
Yes. Exactly. And she has those aspects. So there is a way that you can have it all, but that don't mean it's all daisies and rainbows.
You got to learn. It's a learning process.
It certainly is.
And no one came out of the womb running. We all had to crawl, and the crawling sometimes was not successful. Then the walking
that's
was
true.
Not successful, and we
that's true. Have all
some bruises.
That's true.
You never crawl?
I never crawl.
Is that what's wrong with you?
That's a part of me. I never crawl. I refuse to crawl. I would like kind of maybe pull myself along, but I refuse to crawl. And I think they say that has something to do with, like, it's you're supposed to crawl to help with your, like, reading ability. Like, mm-hmm. It's a developmental part
and
of
motor skills.
Really?
Probably, yeah, it's probably why I'm not a good dancer. I was the only Black girl not to make drill team. So I'm not very coordinated. I'm a great chair dancer. Like, I get rhythm from the chair. Yeah, now.
The full thing.
I love it. Chris, it's the poor thing.
Are you kidding? You just called me Elaine?
Yeah, it looks like
not Elaine. I can see that. That's great. That's great.
That bad. We could get the kids up here. And
all
they
right.
Can, they can
throw them into the bus and then bring the children into it?
They'll tell the truth. They'll tell the truth.
Oh, my goodness.
That's amazing, man. I'm so grateful that you both got to join us. It's always fun when y'all are here together. Like, my face hurts and I got tears in my eyes from laughing. Man, I'm grateful that we're talking about this. And even though, you know, I want people to understand that there's intention behind this. Like, everything that we're talking about, there's intention and choice behind that, that you can choose to look at. Because, I mean, you guys are going through circumstances. I'm going through circumstances. And some days it ain't that easy. Mm-hmm. We'll be honest, not to look at what's right in front of us and feel shitty about it. And I don't think it's not wrong to feel shitty about it. It's not wrong to acknowledge that it's happening. But if we choose to stay in that, and we don't become intentional.
That's the only wrong. It's staying in it.
That's it.
Staying in it and letting it poison you, letting it poison mm-hmm. your love, letting it poison your perspective and your outlook. That's when it's wrong.
Well, it's all a choice of perspective. And then, and so I have a lesson, because when my kids, you know, we do the homeschooling, and when my kids start to, you know, they start to get, you know, my daddy, you know, it's this and that, you know, and something's going wrong, right?
Frustrated
or whatever, right? I stand at one end of the room and I have one kid stand in one corner and one kid stand in the other corner of the room, right? And I say to the one kid, which side of the room am I, which side of you am I on? And one will go, you're on the left-hand side, right? And the other kid will go, no, you're on the right-hand side, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is about how we view things mm-hmm. and the perspective that we take. Right. So the kid that goes, oh, you're on the left hand side. I go, now, if you move over to where the other daughter is, I go, now, where am I? Oh, you're on the right hand side. So now you agree with her. Sometimes we have to change our perspective on this. If the problem stays the same, you can't move the problem, but we can move our own perspective. And everyone's so focused on That's the problem. I need to move the problem. And we forget about the fact that you can't move the problem. The only thing we can move is ourselves.
Absolutely. My therapist just said something like that to me. She was like, you're spending all this time trying to move the table. There's this table in the middle of the room and you're spending all your energy, but it's bolted to the floor and you're trying to move it versus trying to learn how do you live and
you're trying to stay the table has to be on the left hand side of me.
Right.
And you're on the right of it. Right. So let me move the table instead of moving myself. And that's where the whole thing with inversity that Kareth works with is based about. Can we change other people? No, not very easily. Sometimes by changing our interaction with them, we'll change their response back, but we can't change other people very easily. Can we change situations? Can we change our job? And that, no, but if we change our perspective, if we change our attitude towards that, I know people that go to work and they make good money and every day they wake up, oh, I got to go to that job. But, you're already defeated before you go.
That's the truth.
Versus you wake up and you go, I can't wait. Even if it's to answer telephones and talk to idiots. I can't wait to get there and I can't wait to wonder who is going to call in today.
So I have a hack for that. So I read this somewhere and it's, like one of my chapters of like what, ask why this is happening for me versus to me. But in that scenario that you just brought up, it's, instead of saying I have to do this, switch it to I get to do this.
Right.
I get to go to work every day and make a living. I get to interact with other people instead of being a toxic operator in Montana. Like I get to, Like I get to do this.
Sure.
Do this. This is a privilege for me, or I want to go do this.
For sure. When I had no choice. My mom had a cleaning business, and I would rather have someone just tap nails through my fingernails than to clean something. And then it got to the point where, it was, does my family starve or do I go and take this job? And I remember I used to get up every day and I'm like, would feel so offended. That people would be so messy, not even having the perspective like they're messy, so you have a job. It was just this drudging. So you're right, Craig. I was out of energy before I ever got there. I was pissed off. I was offended all the time. I remember when the first time somebody called me the help or the maid, and I was just like, what are you saying? Like, who raised you to be like that? So it was wild. And then I started realizing that I had power to choose. And so I began to change my perspective and realize how grateful I was that this is actually providing for my family. Like I'm able to say yes to my son when every other time it was no. And I didn't have to worry about if there was going to be enough food this month. And I didn't have to worry about those things because of this. So I started doing that same thing every day as I get to go and do this. I get to work on this 8-mile island that's surrounded by water. I get to be inside houses that are $6 and $7 million. So I get to see things
that
help me with my desire board.
Yes.
It's an amazing.
Everything's an opportunity.
And that up-levels your gratitude, right?
It does.
That gratitude is also part of, I think, the equation of intention and manifesting.
I believe
because
so
the more you're grateful for, the more you get to be grateful for.
So true. So true.
It's so crazy how that happens. Like there are days when I try. It's challenging because sometimes you may have had a bad dream or you've just got so much stress and so much on your mind. You wake up thinking about all the stuff that has to get done. But if you can hit that pause button and say, I am so grateful for my life. I am so grateful for my family, for my kids, for my job, for my work, I'm so grateful for my home. I'm so grateful there's food in my fridge. I'm so grateful my parents are still alive. Like I'm so, the things that we take for granted.
I'm grateful for the chicken in the dog cage.
So true.
I have Amanda the chicken.
Amanda the chicken.
Chicken that passed out. Oh gosh, that's a vision that I will not get rid of. I love that.
Yeah. Well, we had her tub full of ice yesterday.
He put her in a shoebox, like a plastic shoebox. Like he gave her an ice bath. Oh. I'm like, oh my god, I'm gonna have to have a chicken funeral. Like, what am I going to do? Right. We already had multiple gerbil funerals.
We had to have a chicken dinner.
I know. Stop.
I love that, man. I love that. And I know it's hot in Texas. Like out here, when you walk in, when you walk outside here, you just get instantly wet because it's so humid.
Humid, yeah.
But oh my gosh, you know, like out in Texas, I remember walking on the sidewalk and you could get literally burned if you're looking down at asphalt.
Did you see the meme of that woman who baked bread in her mailbox in Houston?
No.
She had a brick mailbox and she baked some bread.
Like we've got.
Oh yeah. My god!
Baked bread. It was a viral little photo. But that's how hot it is in Texas.
That's yeah. What a lady sent me this little text the other day. Said it's so hot outside. When I opened my door, I thought I was checking my cornbread, and really? I thought that's hilarious.
Oh, I thought she was gonna say I was expecting Satan to be like dropping off.
She was like, I thought maybe I was checking my cornbread. It's wild. And once again, we can choose to focus on that. My wife sometimes went, it's so hot. And I'm like, yeah, but in January, you're going to be missing this hot because exactly. You're going to be saying it's so cold. So we got to, you know, we got to be intentional. We got to find a way. Man, I love y'all. I'm so grateful.
We love you, Ben.
Y'all got the chance to do this. And congratulations, Gareth, on everything that's really happening with InVersity. I think that we're getting to a place where people are becoming, we don't need all of the population to evolve. We just need a certain amount. And I think that people are really starting to open up and look for these different solutions. And InVersity is an amazing solution to, I think, a conversation that has not ever been done well. And I think that with InVersity, I think you're more than on to something. You're helping to change lives and businesses, and it helps for people, you know, to be able to see it from that standpoint. So InVersitySolutions.com is where people can find you, correct? Yep. Also have your link tree up here
that you
can find everything Gareth Foster. Yeah,
they can look at the article. And if they will add InVersity Solutions, they can find the New York Times article. Just because sometimes there's a paywall.
Amazing article.
Not that I don't want to encourage people to go to the New York Times, but if you have to pay for it right. And you don't feel like signing up, we have the excerpt that features me and my company on the InVersity Solutions page under the blogs or articles tab.
Yes, it was a beautiful, beautiful article. I just felt in my soul that when I read that article, I was like, this is like another jumping off point in your world. And I'm so grateful for that, because the more exposure that gets, then the more people get to truly embrace what InVersity truly is. And thank you for being a person that's created something like that. Everybody can get the book on Amazon at amazon.com/ You Can Be Perfect or You Can Be Happy. It's an amazing book. I looked everywhere in our place because, you know, we kind of are homesteading now in this small place.
Right.
And I tore everything apart trying to find the book to give it. And I was like, what a bad host I am that I can't even. But I put it, all of my autographed books that are so special to me, I have in this special tote with all of the silica gel things in there so nothing happens to them. So I've got it, and it's an amazing book, and it's a great resource for anybody.
I know you read it twice, and you call me up. Oh, yeah. Gareth, I just read this part, and this just resonated with me, and I love that.
It's so good. I mean, it's really so good. It's to me, it's there's so many people that tell a story. And that's amazing that we have redemption stories and all that. I think it's very important. But I also think it's super important when somebody can start helping you with the roadmap. Yeah. And in 2021, I needed that roadmap to help me through some really huge things. It's when I was started to really get intentional about what was happening in my life. You know, it was a lot of big stuff. And so I needed that roadmap. And so for anybody who's looking to help with a roadmap on how you can truly, truly experience, create a life you love, and, you know, start living your best life, whatever that looks like, you know, whatever that looks like, as long as it's true for you. You know, I think this is a great resource. So You Can Be Perfect or You Can Be Happy. You can get on Amazon. hit Kareth up on the link tree, InVersity Solutions. Go and read that article. It's a beautiful article. And I can't wait to be walking through the airport and see that book this year. Or let's say 2024 at the latest.
It's more reasonable.
Which book?
Well, that's just...
The InVersity Solution? Good. You're finally getting on that thing out.
Yes, babe.
Good.
That's just because I might not be in an airport in 2024.
I know.
They do. Just like you said to me, how long have I been wanting to write a book? You said, are you writing? Well, no, but I want to write a book. Well, what are you going to do about it?
You better start typing.
You better start doing something or else it's just a wish.
Exactly.
Wishes become empty if there's no action behind them. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out with me and being here. And everybody, this will be an audio episode on iTunes, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and all those places in about, might not be an hour tonight because we're going to hang out and talk a little bit, but it'll be there by tomorrow. So make sure you please do the things, the likes, the shares, help us grow the channel, help us grow this message. And if you have show ideas, let me know. Thank y'all so, so much. And everybody, I will see y'all next week. Remember, it's up to you. You can get up from your give up and create a life you love. Hang with Recovery Soul Food to help you learn how. We'll see you next time. Bye.